Well, let's all remain standing for the reading of God's word today. I hope you guys are doing well. I'm excited to be here this morning for this word because it's so interesting what I read this week and I was praying through this. And it's found in the book of Ezra chapter 3, verse 10 through 13. And follow along with me as we read this, but it says, "When the builders completed the foundation of the Lord's temple, the priests put on their robes and took their place to blow their trumpets, and the Levites, descendants of Asaph, clashed their cymbals to praise the Lord, just as King David had prescribed. With praise and thanks, they sang to the Lord." Notice what they sang. "He is good." Can we say amen to that? It says, "He is good. He is faithful. Love for Israel endures forever." Then all the people gave great shouts, praising the Lord because the foundation of the Lord's temple had been laid. But many of the older priests, the Levites, the other leaders who had seen the first temple, wept out loud when they saw the new temple's foundation. The others, however, were shouting with joy. The joyful shouting and weeping mingled together in a loud noise that could be heard far in distance. Notice verse 13. It says, the joyful shouting of praise and worship and weeping mingled together in a loud noise that could be heard in a far distance. Let's go to the word in prayer. Father, I thank you for this word that we're about to receive. Father, I pray that you would teach us this morning because I know that there's just a sound of joy and weeping together in our lives, Lord. I pray that you would bless this word and help us to really grow and learn from it. It's been a blessing to my own life, Lord, as I studied it. Holy Spirit, use me now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated as we go into this word this morning. It's an interesting word, but let me give you the context of what's happening here. But in the book of Ezra, it's all about the people of Israel coming back to their land after 70 years being captive in Babylon. The Babylonians attacked Israel. They destroyed the temple of God. They took captive all the people and brought them by force to live in Babylon for 70 years. And after the 70 years were done, the Persian Empire came, took over Babylon, and they were allowed to actually come back to Jerusalem to rebuild their temple. So in the book of Ezra, we see that the people of God are going back home. They're going back to rebuild their lives, and the first priority that they have is to rebuild the temple that the Babylonians destroyed. And the reason that this is a priority in their life, before they built their homes or any of that, they wanted to build the temple because it was a way of them telling God, we have learned our lesson from the consequences of our sin. And as we're coming back to our lives and rebuilding our lives, we want you to be the first priority of our life. So they began to build the temple of God first above anything to honor the Lord. But what's interesting about this passage as I was reading this was what I read in verse 13. Because as they laid the foundation, the Bible says this, there was joyful shouting. So as they laid the foundation for the temple wasn't even built yet, the second one. As they laid the foundation, there was joyful shouting and weeping, but notice it mingled together with loud noises. So as they were worshiping and praising God and giving thanks, there was another sound, and that was the sound of weeping. The older generation was weeping. And when the Bible uses the word weeping, it's not talking about tears of joy. That word weeping literally means to grieve, to be saddened, to be discouraged. So get this picture. We have a group of younger generations that are worshiping God and praising Him and excited about the new things that God's going to do. But then you have the older generation that do not have joy, that aren't worshiping God with praise, but they're weeping with discouragement. And the question is why? And here's why, church. Because the older generation, well, they were around for the first temple. The older generation remembered the first temple, and they remembered how beautiful it was. The first temple was built by Solomon. It was ordained with solid gold. It had cedar wood from Lebanon, imported. It was beautifully furnished. But what made it stand out the most was that the first temple literally experienced the presence of God. The fire from heaven fell and consumed the sacrifices. So it was a beautiful experience that this generation had with God in that temple. But now, they're back home. That temple is destroyed and gone. And as they're laying the foundation for the new temple, get this, they're sad and discouraged because the new temple they're building is not like the old one. They don't have the money to put all the gold that they used to have. They don't have the resources to get all the cedar wood from Lebanon like they did. And the fire from heaven is not falling down and consuming it. So the point is that they're struggling to appreciate and to be thankful for what God is doing at that moment, bringing them back, because they keep going back to the past and thinking about what they lost. And as they're going back to the past and thinking about what they lost and how much better it was back then, they fail to see the goodness of God at that very moment. And as they're looking at the past, I believe that they're filled with guilt because they realized that they took that first temple God blessed them with for granted. They took it for granted because they started worshiping idols, living in sin and idolatry. They took it for granted because they turned their back and did not want to worship God, but wanted to worship all the other gods of the pagan world. They took it for granted. And once it was gone, they realized, man, we really had something good back then. And here's what I feel the Lord was leading me to teach this morning. Because I believe more than ever, we're living in such times where many people take things for granted. Amen. We take things for granted. To take something for granted is to fail to appreciate. And if you're not careful, we can fail to appreciate someone or something that God has blessed you with. It's sad because if we're honest with ourselves, we tend to appreciate things, and we tend to appreciate the blessings of God, and we tend to appreciate people only after they're gone. Can I get a witness this morning? It's only after they're gone that we would say, man, I'd do anything to talk to them again. It's only after they're gone that we say, man, I'd give anything to spend time with them. It's only after they're gone that we say, man, it was so amazing what we had back then. See, it's so interesting to me that this older generation is weeping with discouragement because they took what God had given them for granted. And that brought a lot of conviction to my heart, because I believe this morning, I want to teach this with my full passion, is life is too short for us to be ungrateful. And God is too good for us to take everything for granted. We should never take anything God gives us for granted. And we should live every day appreciating the goodness of God. We should live every day of our life like we deserve nothing, and everything that is given is a gift from God above, because we serve a God that says every good gift comes from above. It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from anyone else. But God, everything around you, from the very breath of your lungs, is something we do not appreciate. We do not appreciate the blessings of God. We take it for granted because we become so familiar with it. We take it for granted because we think it's no big deal. But all around you in your life, there are blessings God has given you that we take for granted. Blessings like your spouse. Blessings like your kids. And maybe when they're toddlers, they're exhausting, trust me, I don't know what sleep is anymore. And maybe when they get older and they become teenagers, you're losing and pulling your hair and you just can't wait for them to get out of the house. And when they're out of the house and married and gone, that's when parents start to say, I'd give anything to have my toddler back. Parents? That's why my mom looks at Callie and her grandkids and says, son, enjoy this moment. I'm like, yeah, mom. Really? With puke on me and everything? Because parents will do anything to go back to what the things they took for granted. Kids, don't ever take your parents for granted. The parents that annoy you and control me and don't leave me alone, one day you will miss the fact. You will miss them, believe me, when they're gone. And you would give anything to have your parents in your business again. Amen. Kids, can I get an amen from you? No? We take our country for granted. We take our freedom for granted. In this sick world we live in, where younger people are pushing socialism and communistic ideas, they have no idea that the freedom we have now could be taken away. We take God for granted. We take the Bible for granted. Countries die. People die in other countries for holding this book. And you can't hold it all week long. Churches are persecuted all around the world, and yet we struggle to come to ours. We take God for granted. We take this church for granted. We take it for granted. You barely give to it. You barely serve in it. You waver, should I go, shouldn't I, I'm busy, I'm tired. We take it for granted that we have a church that preaches the Word of God directly, that we're a church family. And my challenge this morning is to tell you, as I quote Job, the Lord gives, and the Lord what, church? Takes away. And don't wait for God to take something away for you to then have an awakening and realize, man, what I had back then with that person, with my spouse, with my life, with my God, with my church, man, that was what a blessing, and I didn't even see it until it's gone. It was difficult to appreciate what God was doing for that older generation, because when you really study it, they were remembering the good days. They were remembering the old days when the temple was beautiful and the presence of God was around, and how beautiful that first temple was. They were going back to the good old days. And let's be honest, there's nothing wrong with going back to the good old days in your memory. In fact, Deuteronomy 32:7 encourages us, and it says, remember the days of long ago. Think about the generations past. So you think about the generations before you. Think about your parents, your grandparents, your childhood. Think about all of that, good and bad, regardless. It says, you think about those things. Ask your father, and he will inform you. That word inform literally means to teach you. So why does God want us to remember the old days? Because he wants us to reflect on history for us to learn from it, to appreciate it, to take the good and the bad and make you better for today and tomorrow. You see, real growth happens when you learn from the good old days and your past. But on the same token, Ecclesiastes 7:10 says this, "Do not say, why were the old days better than these?" Come on, guilty anyone? All the older people like, yeah. Don't say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such a question. Why does the Bible say it's not wise, even though we have to learn from the past, don't ever say as you remember your past, why was it so much better back then? Why was it so much easier back then? Why was God so much better back then? Why was my life so much loving back then? Why is everything so much better than now? Why is it not wise for us to do that? It's because the more time we spend thinking about the old days and how much better it was, the more likely you're going to have less contentment. You're going to be less satisfied with your present days. And this is exactly what happened to someone named King David in the Bible. David was going through a hard time. Saul, his father-in-law, was persecuting him, trying to kill him out of rage and jealousy. And while David was hiding out in the caves, not knowing his future, he said this in Psalm 143, verse 5 through 7. He said this, "I remember the what? I remember the days of old." Notice what he says as he's going through a hard time. "I remember the old days. I ponder all your great works." So it sounds wonderful. He's going back to times that he enjoyed. He's going back to the past and he's thinking about all the things God had done. And what I believe here as we hold this verse, that David was thinking about his old days as a shepherd. His old days before he was anointed to be king. The old days before everyone knew who he was. Maybe he's going back thinking, man, I miss those days that no one knew me. I miss those days that it was simple. I miss those days I was out in the field with my animals just worshiping God. I miss those days. And the Bible says, as I remember the days of old, and I pondered all the great works and think about what you've done. Notice what David is honest about in verse 6. The Bible says, "I lift my hands to you in prayer." He begins to pray. Why? He goes, "I thirst for you as a parched land thirsts for rain." And notice the last verse. He says, "Come quickly, Lord, and answer me. For my what? My depression deepens. Don't turn away from me or I will die." You see, as David begins to ponder about the back then and the days back then and the good old days and when life was easier and simple and when everything in my life was so much better, when he begins to ponder about the days and the years and that time and that generation that everything was great, he begins to fall into a deep depression. Why? Because he really believes that the days ahead are not going to be like the days behind. He feels like his best days are behind him. And sometimes we can go back to a time where you were with your parents that are not here anymore. You go back to a child that no longer speaks to you. You go back to a time where you were healthy. You go back to a time where your loved ones that are gone, you were right there with them. And if you dwell there too long, it can cause you to feel such a depression because it convinces you that those were the days and my next days ahead are going to be worse. And so many people feel like the best days they have are behind them. We can go back to a days. You know, I go back to the days when we were at the warehouse in Medley and we remember those days. And I always think that, but I got to be careful. Because if I think too much of those days that were amazing, I begin to despise these days I'm in now. Be careful. David warns us, you can fall into a depression thinking about the old days. That's why I get depressed when I go to McDonald's. Because I come from a generation where Wednesday night hamburgers were 29 cents.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All the old people are like, oh, yeah. Kids, you don't know this. And 49 cents and 39. And on Sunday nights after church, they were 39 cents. And I go to McDonald's now, I get depressed. Can I get a witness this morning? I get depressed when I go. I went to a movie a few months ago. I got depressed because I had to take out a second mortgage. The popcorn alone with a soda is $25. Plus the movies, you're almost at $70 for two people. And I come from a generation that grew up with a dollar theater. How many remember the dollar theater? Woo! And I remember those dollar theater days. So much better. And we'd go to Winn-Dixie and get 25-cent Czech cola cans. Remember those days? And my mom would put them in her big fat purse. And we'd go with our snacks. And my mother, I want to throw her under the bus for a second. My mother managed, I don't know how she did this, but my mother managed to find a coupon for the dollar theater for half off. Like if $1 was way overboard, let me find a coupon. But she printed it out this size. And I never forget the image of my mom coming saying, five please. And sliding this through that little window. The lady's like, oh my gosh, we had this? 50 cents for a movie. So I get depressed. I get depressed thinking about Netflix and streaming all this stuff. Because I come from Friday night blockbuster nights. Remember those days? Come on. Some of you are crying right now. I miss those days. We'd all get together and fight what movie we were going to pick. Those were the days that built patience because you had to wait for your turn to pick the movie. It taught you about disappointment because your movie wasn't there and someone had rented it. Those were tough times, but those were amazing times. And I know our phones and our iPads are a blessing, but I miss the old days where we talked to each other. See, I pray that this makes sense to you because if you're not careful, you're able to go back. Any of us here this morning in this room can go back to a day in your life where you were happier. You can go back to a time in your life your marriage was stronger. You can go back to a time your kids actually wanted to spend time with you. You can go back to a time where you were so on passion and fire for the Lord. You can always go back and think about a better day. And the devil uses that to remind you and convince you that the days ahead are not going to be like those. So get depressed. You see, the older people, they were set free. God was rebuilding their lives. God had forgiven them and their mercies for leaving and abandoning the Lord. God brought them back to Jerusalem. And while all the other younger generations were celebrating the new things of God and had joy and praise and were celebrating what God was doing, ironically, the older generation could not get past their past. And they allowed themselves to be robbed of their joy and praise and worship due to God because they had gone through such a hard life. And they're trying to rebuild what was broken. And life was hard for them. And let's be honest, when life is hard, we tend to go back in our minds to a time when life was not so hard. So the older generation was just discouraged because they kept thinking of the time of yesterday. They kept thinking about the good times, the blessed days. And when they drew comparison for where they were at that moment, and they saw that second foundation, and it was a lot smaller and a lot more pathetic than the first one, they looked at themselves and said, man, I miss those old days, and we will never be the same again. So what do you do? If you find yourself in a place of discouragement because you miss the old days, what do you do when it's hard for you to celebrate what God is doing today because you miss what God did yesterday? What do you do when you find yourself depressed and discouraged? Because you're thinking that your best days are behind you. The answer is easy. The application is not. You ready to learn this morning? In Haggai chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, God will say this. He's speaking directly to the older generation, the ones that were moping around and sad and discouraged and couldn't celebrate the new things of God. He said, "Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory?" So who are you that, where the group, where's the group of people thinking about the glory days? Where are those people at? God said, "I want to talk to you for a minute." And God asked this question. He says, "How does it look like to you right now? Does it seem to you like nothing?" That word nothing literally means insignificant, worthless. So God says, "Who are you among you? Is looking back at your old life and comparing it to your life now. And which one of you looks at your life now and thinks it's pathetic, it's worthless, and why does God have me here? And I don't understand what God is doing." And God said this to them. But now he says, "Be strong." He tells the older generation that's discouraged, comparing their life now from their past. He says, "Be strong. O Zerubbabel, the one that laid the foundation, declares the Lord." He says, "Be strong. Oh, Joshua, be strong. The high priest, be strong." He keeps saying it. "Be strong, be strong, be strong." That word literally means encourage. Be encouraged, be encouraged, be encouraged. Stop thinking about the old days, because I'm the same God. I'm the God of yesterday, today, and forever. And the God that did that back then could do it right now. So be encouraged, be encouraged, be encouraged, be encouraged. He keeps reminding them to be encouraged. "All you people of the land, declares the Lord," and what? "Work. For I'm with you." So I want to share with you two verses that show us what to do when you find yourself discouraged because you're thinking of the God of the past and the good things, and you're thinking of your life today, and you're thinking that that's, those good days are gone. Be strong. And work. In Jesus' name, I'll tell you clearly, in Jesus' name, make it work. Stop thinking about yesterday and make work today. Zechariah 4, 8 through 10. Another message came from me to the Lord. And Zerubbabel, he's the first one that laid the foundation. He says, "Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of the temple. And he will complete it." You know what God said here? Get this morning, church. That foundation that you're looking at and comparing to your past, God said, "It's not done yet. I'm not finished yet." So while you're there thinking about the past and the glory days and how much easier and better it was back then, and I wish I can go back then, God's saying, "Don't you realize right now you're complaining about something that I haven't finished? Would you receive this morning and say, 'God's not done with me yet?'" He says, "Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of the temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that I am the Lord of heaven's army and that he sent me." Look at the next verse. It says, "Do not despise these small beginnings." Because that's what they were doing when they saw the foundation. They were despising it. "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see what? He rejoices to see the work begin." So it's easy to preach, hard to do. Ready? Number one and two. make it work, and stop despising it. Say that with me. Make it work, stop despising. Turn to your neighbor and say, make it work, stop despising. Because this is what we need to hear today. If you keep going back to the old days and you don't like where you're at now in your life, I'll tell you this. Get over it. Thank God for it. But declare He's not done with it. Come on, give God praise. And make it work. Don't despise it. See, God says, I'm giving you a choice. You can despise the present as you reminisce on the past. You can despise what I'm doing in your life right now and stay stuck and have no joy, lose your praise. Or you can trust God, His faithfulness, and make it work. Appreciate it and make it work. Because God says, it says the Lord rejoices to see the work. Did you realize, church, the Bible says that you and I can make God rejoice? And God rejoices when He looks down at you at the present moment that's not like the past moments, and you're discouraged and it's difficult, but He sees you in faith and in trust working it, doing the work. It may not be what you like. It may not be what you thought. It may not be what you expected. It may not be what you had back then. But when God sees a child of His faithful in the work that God has given, it gives Him great joy. He rejoices to see the work begin. And that's why God can't bless you. Because you keep thinking about yesterday when God says, I want to bless you today and tomorrow. Get over yesterday. Get over who left you. Get over who divorced you. Get over the job you lost. Get over the people that are gone. Get over what is over, because God is getting ready to do something new. And He says, do you not see it? Make it work. Because the devil wants you in the past. Not just thinking about your guilt and sin and mistake. The devil's smarter than that. You know what the devil wants you to dwell on? He wants you to dwell on the days God was good to you. The days that were evident. The days that God opened doors. The days you were healthy. The days your marriage was strong. The days your home was a solid foundation. The days that everything was easier. That's where the devil wants you. Because he says, look at you now. Those days are gone. So get depressed. Get discouraged. But what if God says to forward today? In spite of where you're at now, if you are faithful to work, and trust me, I can finish what I started in your life. You guys getting this morning? I thought about some people in the Bible that had they not made it work, they would have stayed stuck in their past. I thought about Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. Joseph was the favorite child, had a coat of many colors. His life was coasting. It was easy until he became a slave and sold into Egypt, and he was a servant of Potiphar. You know, Joseph could have looked back at the old days and said, I miss the old days when my father loved me and favored me. I miss the old days. I miss my coat of many colors. I miss when everything was easier back then. And now I'm here and I despise this place. I despise Egypt. I despise being a slave. I despise my job. But you know what Joseph decided? I'm not going to dwell on the past. I'm going to work here in Egypt with excellence. And as he made it work and became the best slave in Egypt, working in difficult conditions, The Bible says Potiphar took notice of him, promoted him, and greater things happened. Can I be honest with you? Don't get mad at me. But if you would spend less time despising your job and doing it with excellence, you might actually get a raise or promoted. But we make it such a habit to despise our job. I hate my boss. I hate my coworkers. I hate the employees. I hate this. I hate that. Why don't you just admit right now and say, God, thank you that I have a job. Thank you that I'm able to pay the bills. Thank you that I have work in my life, and appreciate where you're at. I thought about Ruth. Ruth was happily married until her husband died and she became a widow. And this is great for all the single moms here. Ruth could have looked back at the past when she had a husband, when she was married, and she had a provider, and things were great. In those times, you needed a man to provide. And she had a rough life because now she's in a position where she has to go to work. And now she's in the position where she's out in the field collecting wheat. And she could have gone back to the times and said, I miss being married. I miss my husband. I miss my old days. I miss my home. I miss this. But you know what Ruth decided to do? I'm going to make this work. And every morning she went out to the fields and she started picking up wheat and picking up wheat. And she did it with beauty and grace and with such a great attitude that the Bible says Boaz took notice of her. Long story short, Boaz fell in love with her. And if Ruth would have stayed stuck in her old ways and stuck in her old life and stuck with her old husband, she would never have met the husband God had for her there. And by the way, through them came the lineage of Christ. God had something greater, but they had to make it work. I thought about Moses. He was out in the desert for 40 years. He could have looked back at the good old days. He could have said, man, I miss being a prince. I miss having servants. I miss being wealthy. I miss being powerful. Life was so much better back then. And look at me now in the desert. But Moses had faith and he made it work. And he became the best shepherd in all of that desert. And he got married and he had kids and he built a life because he said, it's not what I expected. It's not what I wanted, but I'm going to trust God and make it work. And God took notice. And God had greater for him. And even Jacob and Leah, when they got married, Jacob looked back and he said, man, I wish I was with Rachel, the better sister. And sometimes you marry someone, you wake up one day and they're not who you thought. And Jacob naturally did what a lot of people want to do. He wanted to return her. And some of you want to do an exchange with your spouse. You're like, I'm done. I'm going to return you. I'm done. There's no refunds, Jay says. No refunds. And I love this because the Bible says it was hard on Leah because it was clear that Jacob mistreated her. But they made it work. They had children together. They stayed together. And Joseph and Jacob decided to even be buried with her, which in that culture, when you buried someone together, it meant that they were in love. And through that relationship, not Rachel, but Leah, came the lineage of Christ. You see, church, when you stop despising where you're at now, thank God for what he did yesterday. But don't stay there. Because believe today, God has you where you're at for a purpose. And instead of despising it, I'm just going to make it work. Believing that God is not done with me. And something greater is happening. You guys received this morning? Well, that was some good preaching, right?
Yeah.
Think about this as we close. We can get so stuck and what God did yesterday, that we end up being like this old generation that failed to see the goodness of God. And God was rebuilding their life and doing something greater. But they were so busy despising that foundation that they saw because it wasn't like the old one. And some of you can't seem to find joy and peace in your life because there's a constant state of comparison. And you keep comparing that person to a person in your past. You keep comparing that job to a job in your past. You keep comparing where you're at now to where you were then. And it has you miserable. Enough is enough. Trust God where He has you. And say, Lord, despising where I'm at has done nothing for me. But I'm going to make this work in faith. And I'm going to do things with excellence and trust you that you are not completing anything until you say it's over. So you're not done yet. You see, in Haggai chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says this. And this is what God promises when He says, do not despise small beginnings. God says, the glory of this present house, the present temple you see, that foundation that you despise, God says, the glory of the present, everyone say present. That's today, isn't it? Present, right now. God says, the glory of this present house will be what? Greater than the glory of what? Come on, church, you got to get this morning. God is saying you're so busy despising the foundation that you have right now that you're blind to realize that what I am going to do is greater than what I did back then. You think I was good back then? Wait until you see how good I am now. You think that was great back then? Just wait until you see what real greatness is. And you have to trust what God says here, that the latter days of your life are going to be greater than the former days. The glory of the present of the house will be greater than the glory of the house of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord. Why is God saying that? Because He's saying this place that you don't like right now, this place that you despise because you keep thinking of the past, this foundation, the second temple, is going to be the temple where Jesus Christ walks through. And Jesus doesn't need a temple filled with gold and lavish furniture and the best cedar world of all of Lebanon and none of that. You see, God is saying this temple may not be like the other ones. It may not be as good. It may not be as beautiful. But God says, I don't look at that. So Jesus is telling us today, you are like that second temple. You're useless. You're worthless. You seem like you're nothing. But that's who Jesus wants. So be grateful for what God is doing now. Because Jesus is in it. So I pray this morning, as we stand up to our feet today, with every head bowed, every eye closed today, if you would confess to the Lord right now and say, Lord, I'm stuck in the past. I'm stuck in the old days. I mean, I'm having it be a very difficult to have joy and peace for what you're doing right now. I despise where I'm at sometimes. I don't appreciate where I'm at right now. And you confess, I don't appreciate sometimes the spouse you gave me, the kids I have, the parents I have, the job, the house, the church. I don't appreciate as much as I should. And Lord, because I keep comparing it to things you've done in the past or things I don't have today. If this is you this morning as an act of just humility, would you put your hand up today? No one's watching, everyone all around the room today. Just be honest with God. And I want to pray with you this morning that you would find the faith to say, Lord, I want to stop comparing. And I want to trust you for my future and my today. And you thank God for the memories. Thank God for the past. Thank God for the blessings of yesterday. But church, the challenge is don't stay there. Because we serve a God that's the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's all pray together this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this word. We thank you for the past. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God that does greater things when we don't see it. And we confess, Lord, that we're able to look back at a time when we were happier. We're able to look back at a time where there was more love in the home. We're able to look back at a time where things seemed so much easier. A time where maybe we had more peace, or maybe you had more money, or maybe we had more happiness. The devil has convinced us, Lord, that those days are gone and the future is going to be worse. But I declare this morning in the name of Jesus, Lord, that our latter days will be greater than our former days. And though right now it looks like nothing, Lord, you are up to something great. So help us to have the faith to not despise, but to put in the work. In Jesus' name. And God's church said, amen. Amen. Come on, give God some praise this morning. Give God some real praise this morning. We're thankful. We're thankful for the old days, aren't we? But we're getting excited this morning because God is getting ready to do new things.